Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge drives an electric car. Very little noise when he's on the phone in it. He is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing today?
I rode a bike around, so I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. Very nice.
Yeah. are you familiar with popping wheelies?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm familiar with the I haven't done that for many years, but yeah.
Yeah, some of us never let go of that. We just do wheelies all the time. There you go.
We're living on the edge here, Danny Ainge. Okay, so let's get right down to what's going on. The news of the day, Terry Rozier, there was Bill Simmons first yesterday reported it, and then Shams over from The Athletic has said that Terry Rozier has been unhappy with his playing time this season, and word has gotten around the league, and now everyone knows that the Celtics need to trade him. This is according to their report. His words, not mine. And then they said that there are seven teams that are interested in Terry Rozier. What did you think about these rumors? I'm sure you've heard them all by now, and what do you know about this situation?
Well, you know, I talked to Terry quite a bit, and I haven't heard any of those types of things, but so I don't know how reliable any of the sources or rumors are. Terry hasn't shared any of those with me, and I think he would if he were feeling that way. Terry knew going in this year what his situation, what his role was going to be, and he was as excited and enthusiastic as anybody on our team for the upcoming season. You know, maybe, I mean, I know for sure that Terry would love to be playing more minutes, but there's a lot of guys on the team that would be loving to play more minutes. But I feel like I have the relationship with Terry that he would come to me and talk to me and or Brad, and, you know, if he was really frustrated about a situation, and none of that's happened.
And I know you obviously have that relationship with Terry Rozier, but this is also a situation that as a GM, you've seen things like this happen before where somebody is, you know, they're set to make a lot of money possibly at the end of the year. They want their numbers to go up. Is there something inside of you that has some sort of discussion with a player like that, maybe even before the season starts, to let them know, I understand what's going on and here's why you shouldn't worry?
Yeah, we've had a few different discussions on all this issue leading up with each one of the players, as a matter of fact. But, you know, Terry, we all knew what Terry was coming into. His agent, Terry, us, we've discussed it. Yeah, we preempted all of this type of thing from happening before the season. But so I don't know where any of this stuff is coming from, and I don't know anything about the seven teams that are monitoring it and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that just seems sort of stuff that's been made up, or I don't believe any of it. Put it that way.
So no teams have called you about Terry Rozier?
Not since the season started. No.
Okay. Now, one thing with Terry Rozier, too, you could take a look at is that, I mean, he hasn't played, I think, when he's had his minutes. It's not been what I think we had all hoped. I mean, I think that he's underperformed a little bit. Do you think that maybe there's something inside of him that is trying to get his numbers up, maybe playing a little more hero ball than he should instead of being, you know, facilitator or looking for the right play?
You know, I think, you know, we've won a couple games I thought that we would not have won had Terry not played and played well, including opening night against Philly. I think that it's normal for players that are coming off the bench to, you know, want to get things done in a hurry because they know that they're, you know, might not be in as long. And I sensed a little bit of that with Terry, but listen, Terry is not a problem for our team. He's a great kid. He's loved by his teammates. He's playing well. We all know what Terry is capable of doing when he gets an opportunity to start and play more minutes. And but yeah, he may be pressing a little bit, but he's not the only one. I feel like we have a few guys, and as you have looked at our team so far through these 10 games, we have a few guys playing really well each night, and we really haven't had a game where we've played a good 40-minute game and 48-minute game and had everybody clicking at the same time. And but Terry Rozier is not a concern of mine or Brad's. We have all the confidence in him in any moment, any time in the game, and not really worried about any of it.
Have Vinny Johnson come down and show him how it's done off the bench. You know what I'm talking about. All right, Danny, are you happy with the way Jason Tatum's playing? There is word on the street that he is working out with Kobe Bryant, and maybe he's become a little selfish early this season.
Oh, my gosh.
I make it up. I don't know. I just read it.
You just read it and report it, right?
Yeah, what am I going to do? I don't know what's going on out there.
I mean, Jason has had some fantastic games early in the year, and he's had some games where he has struggled. But Jason is not selfish. Jason is a scorer, and sometimes he might try to do too much, but that's just the nature of the game, and he's playing to his strengths. But I'm not worried about any of these types of things right now. I think that we are a team that's trying to find ourselves. I think Brad's trying to figure out the best combinations and who to play and the best combinations together to maximize our depth. And it's a work in progress, but not down on any one individual. There's some guys that have played better than others more consistently, but everybody's had their ups and downs so far this year.
Danny, you were talking about how this is a work in progress. How long do you think it takes for a team like yours to kind of settle in and everyone kind of be comfortable with the ball movement and their own roles, considering the reinsertion of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward? How long do you think something like that will take?
I don't know. I don't think too long, but I think it'll take a little while. I mean, I said from the beginning of the year, I think that we're going to be a much better team in January than we are in November, so I still believe that.
All right, so Jamal Murray scores 48 on the team, and at the end of the game, Kyrie Irving takes the ball, chucks it into the stands, and at one point, I think afterwards, I don't know if it was immediately after or the day after, he goes, you're not going to keep the game ball if you with that kind of BS.
Yes, the day after.
Yeah, the day after. Yeah. What did you think of that whole way the game ended and how Kyrie reacted to it?
I think that... I don't know. I probably would have reacted the same way if I was Kyrie. So.
I was going to say.
That's an age-esque move.
I was going to call, say, yeah, I was gonna call BS. Yeah. Yeah. If you would have came down on him on this airwaves, I would have hung up on you.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, listen, it's hard for me to be too judgmental. Like, I wouldn't have done it now at age 59, but at age 26, I'm sure I would have done the same thing. So, I don't think it's a big deal. I understand how Kyrie feels and the frustration, but I'm not going to worry about it.
Anyone ever try to pull that crap on you guys back in the day?
Sure. Those kind of things happen every now and then. And I mean, you almost see it to a fault nowadays where, you have a 12-point lead and there's 29 seconds to go in the game and you just hold the ball, take a turnover and give the other team the ball and they take a turnover. But I think that, yeah, you don't really try to score. I mean, even your own team, if you tried to do that on our own team, the guys would be mad at you and be making fun of you. And it's obviously like all you care about is getting stats. And it's just something that, players don't do.
But how tough is it? Have you been on the other side of that where you've had the hot hand? Like, how tough is it to resist that moment when it's near the end and you're like, all right, well, this could be something truly amazing. If I just made, one or two more shots. Have you ever been that guy, and how tough is it to kind of do the right thing?
No, I think you just do the right thing. I just don't think that it's almost embarrassing to try to you know, pad your stats. I mean, it reminds me of that. Maybe the most flagrant one was Ricky Davis trying to get a triple-double at the end of the game.
I remember that. Right. He threw the ball off his own backboard, didn't he, to get that?
Yeah. Not even getting off the rebound.
That last rebound, he was one rebound short, so he threw it off his own backboard. I remember that.
I mean, it just wasn't as big a deal in our era. I mean, I remember one game, Larry Bird was one steal away from a quadruple-double. And it was the beginning of the fourth quarter. And in those days, a quadruple-double, nobody got him. I mean, I think there would have been one in the history of the game at that time. And Larry just, like, shrugged it off, like, I don't care about that stuff. Like, are you serious? Like, because KC was asking him, do you want to go back in the game? And he's like, no. So, you know, like, it was a different era. Now it just seems like statistics are just so important. And everybody just judges your performance on triple-doubles or double-doubles or all that kind of stuff. And so I get how the players get caught up in that thing. And I certainly am not going to hold a grudge against Jamal Murray. Like, he's a 21-year-old kid. And he's trying to get 50 points. It's, you know, I don't see it as a big deal at all. I just understand the frustration.
All right, Tony Maz just texted me and said he wanted me to ask you about going for the free throw title on the final day of the season. He said you did that once. You kept driving to the basket so you'd get fouled and get the necessary number of minimum attempts for the season. True or false?
Yeah. So that is actually a true story. And so I was leading the league in free throw percentage, but I didn't have enough attempts. And so I had to get to the line. And so I just started going to the line and going to the line. And so the end of the story is, like, KC took me out because what I wanted to do, my goal was, Bird was second. Okay, but Bird had this, like, $50,000 incentive clause in his shoe contract. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot now, but $50,000 was, you know, a quarter of most of our pay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to get to the free throw line because we had like a double figure lead. I wanted to get to the free throw line one more time for two free throws, make the first one, call timeout, and negotiate with Bird how much he would pay me to miss. But KC and Mikhail, they were like so mad. They like took me out of the game and wouldn't let me go back in the game.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Tony Maserati.
Yeah, I had never heard that story. So that's. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's great. All right.
People didn't make as much money back in the day.
No, you had to negotiate. Completely different lifestyle. When you hear people bitching about their contracts nowadays, Danny, does it just make you snicker?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made out there. But, you know, it is such a big that there is so much money being made. But there's a big difference, you know, between the highest paid players. And, you know, so it's a tough world to coach guys now because, you know, you come off the bench and typically bench players make less money than starters. And so coaching decisions, you know, turn out to be worth millions and millions of dollars for some players. But I still, you know, there's a lot of bench players that I like better than starters around the league. And I don't think it's as simple as that, but I think sometimes players look at it that way.
All right. Well, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. We wish you a great week, and hopefully we can talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
All right, appreciate it.
I hope you're still around, and I hope you're wearing a bike helmet.
First of all, he's been briefed, apparently.
No helmet for the tee. Let those who ride decide. And second of all, I thought I was going to have a heart attack just going down the hall. I got to answer some life questions right now, Danny. I'm in a constant state of reflection right now. I've made some bad choices.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right. See you, man.
All right. There you go. The great Danny Ainge.
That's pretty funny. I do. Okay. So what we got out of that is that, according to Danny, that Terry Rozier has not said anything to him about...
Or Brad. Right.
About wanting more minutes and being unhappy with his place on this team.
And he also said that no team has called him about a possible trade for Rozier since the season started.
And that contradicts the report that Shams came out with from The Athletic saying that seven different teams... I think seven are monitoring the situation.
Monitoring.
You know, it sounds
to me, seven teams that want him.
It sounds like Shams is what?
A sham. Mm,
got Boy, that right.
Bam.
Sounds like someone.
Sounds like Sham is a sham.
What up, Shams? Repping the cold take.
There's a Romism out of nowhere.
Look at Shams over there. Why don't you clean my window with a chamois?
ShamWow.
The ShamWow. What is up with the felon that made my pillow?
Is he a felon?
I think.
Okay. Well, maybe he's not.
I know that he was doing a ton of coke and writing on the walls of his apartment. That I do.
Whitney Shears.
Staying up for a week, and then he invented some pillow that apparently causes problems.
Regrow your drug-free lettuce.
That was my take. Sometimes a take on popular culture. Repping Shams. Sham. All right. We will be back in just a moment. Bird's still riding that bike around.
Thatcher and Rich.
Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich.
I'm about to do what you are not supposed to do according to all the consultants in radio, and that is about to throw like three or four things at you, right? That none of them have anything to do with anything, and they're all piled together. Number one, first of all, we got a tweet that says, oh boy, classic Ainge misdirection regarding Rozier. It means a trade is imminent, which is, of course, I wouldn't put it past him. All right, that's number one. Number two, I'm trying to get this video of Fred from the handlebars of his bike doing the sweet course around the studio up, and it will be up imminently. All I know is that I looked in the other room where Dan O'Brien, our producer, and Bird, and Mike and Nick are, and I just saw them all at once just bust out crying laughing. And
I saw the video. There's nothing funny about it.
I immediately knew what they were looking
at.
It's
a man conquering a course.
I can't oversell this. It's phenomenal.
Is it on Instagram? Is it on the
it's nowhere
Twitter
yet.
Account?
It's nowhere.
Where is it going to be?
I'm going to put it on about all of them. I'm going to put it up on Twitter. I'll put it up on Instagram. But once again, I'm still trying to... I have to actually put it up on YouTube, I think, because it's like 2.5 minutes long.
I have not seen it yet.
It's awesome. It's like from Fred's stomach up.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right.
And it moves with every sweet jump.
Yeah.
It twists with every sweet twist.
And you talking about my gut?
And it is a bit, I don't know. I mean, listen, I thought...
Give Nick credit. Wasn't it his idea to put the GoPro on the handlebars?
It was. It looks like... Did you guys ever see Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah.
At the end of the movie when, like, all the drug deals go bad and, like, the camera's right in their face and they're running around, everything's moving by. It looks like Marlon Wayans running from the guy who just shot his friend. He's like,
The problem with the video... on the GoPro is that you can't see what's going on. So, like, a lot of the times, and this is a real issue.
No, you see plenty going on.
No, the real issue I have with it is that when I'm doing the sweet bounces on the box, there's no evidence of the bouncing except for my torso shaking up and down.
There is a decent amount of torso being shaken around. All right, and then...
Quit calling me fat.
I didn't call you fat.
It's exactly what... Isn't that what he's doing, John?
There's an amount of torso bouncing around. Is your torso not going to bounce when you're doing
that? Around. It's like the fat offensive line coach for Cleveland. He's calling you out.
I literally repeated Fred.
Calling me out. Yes,
indeed.
Calling me out.
Damn right.
Hey, can you help me?
Well, so the other thing is I was thinking about something yesterday, and maybe it was because... I was reading about how... Do you remember how last year, during the NBA All-Star Week, they had this great idea that they were going to pick the teams like schoolyard basketball teams?
Yep.
It was going to be a draft. There were going to be two captains, and last year it was LeBron James, and it was Steph Curry. And they were going to pick... And everyone was like, this is phenomenal. This is going to be great. You're going to get to see, is Steph Curry going to pick all of his own teammates? Right. And will that piss anybody off? Oh, will LeBron pick Kyrie? Oh, do they really hate each other? And this was something that was kind of... It was the most fun aspect of a very good concept. And then what did they do, John Wallach?
They didn't televise it.
No, they did it over the phone, and nobody knew who picked when at what point.
It was a conference call.
You want to know who the last person picked is? You want to know who the Phil Kessel of the All-Star game
is? Actually, it turned out to be Horford, didn't it?
I don't think they ever
Horford
mentioned.
Horford was one of the last
Horford
two.
Horford was the last.
Did they reveal that?
I seem to remember that Horford was one of the last two picked or the last
He was the last picked.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it took a while to find that out.
But it did. It didn't happen the day of. We found out a couple of weeks
later. But you also want to see all of those. I mean, the NHL did it so right. When the NHL had.
They had all those drunk Ottawa fans
there. They put in front of a bunch of Ottawa townies who were yelling at them. And there was Kessel sitting there the whole time.
If you don't know, the first NHL All-Star Draft was held at a TV studio in Ottawa. And they put in
1,000 Bob and Doug McKenzies. It wasn't even 1,000. It was 40 Bob and Doug McKenzies.
Okay, so what they did is they put in 40 guys from Ottawa, and there's no music, there's no production value, so they'd just be takes, Burns.
Yeah.
And then there'd be no music, and you just hear, "Soccer! It's soccer!"
Right, there was literally no production value.
It's true.
All you could hear were just drunk Canadian townies yelling at these guys.
Ottawa townies just yelling and drunk.
Yeah. And it was awesome. And then when Kessel went last, it was phenomenal. I mean, that's what you want to see. Well, the NBA got it right. Finally, after getting it wrong, they said, you know what? Let's give the people what they want. Let's do a televised All-Star Draft. So this year, it was announced yesterday, it will indeed be televised. That to me sounds fun as hell.
Now, are they televising it as part of the run up to the All Star game that weekend, or is it the week before?
I don't know.
I think it should all be as part of the. So no one knows who they're going to play with until they show up. Where is it this year? L.A. I have no idea when the All Star game.
Well,
is
I know Cleveland just got a future one.
Yeah, that's
Cleveland.
The next couple of years, but I forget where it is this year.
It doesn't matter.
They should have everyone show up. No one knows who they're playing with, and before the slam dunk competition and the skills competition. Have it do it there. Let's make that Friday night really long, or Saturday really long.
You know what the best thing about the All-Star game is?
What's that?
All the razzle-dazzle.
Yeah.
All the defense, I thought you were going to say?
No, just all the razzle-dazzle. Yeah. All the dunks and sweep behind-the-back passes.
Yeah, All-Star game, not a good game. It's not a quality product.
It is not.
But the draft will be. Yes. Will be something that I want to see. And you know what? I still watch the skills competition. The three-point contest is the best. I mean, that's the highlight. I love every year watching that. The dunk competition it sucks. I mean, it hasn't been. Oh, there's been a couple of decent ones. I don't tune in for that. I'll make sure to watch the three-point competition. I love that.
Agreed.
But
Saturday
now.
Night.
What's that?
It's hard. It's at a real weird time.
But it's always later than you think it's going to be. It's always at 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
So I always seem to be home.
I'm old. Right. I mean, we get to a certain
age. I'm not saying I'm not home.
TV's not great on Saturday nights. I mean, I'm flipping that on. I'm watching it.
Yeah, I'm home, but Lord knows what I'm doing. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up, as we tend to at this time of day. Dude. It's obvious you're aroused.
Without a doubt.
I mean, don't stand up.
I'm not going to.
You got a boner.
Just because of the stack?
No, because of this GoPro film.
Oh, you're already that.
Okay, ladies, if you're at work, don't watch the GoPro film. Do it while you light some candles.
Bring a towel. Sure, I understand.
No, lights. You're right. Gross. No, light some candles.
Yeah.
Toys, whatever you need.
Yeah.
And take a ride with me around the studio.
Right.
I'm going to.
Do you know how impossible that was to maneuver?
Honest to God, video's not going to do it justice. You had maybe 18 inches on either side
just
to maneuver around.
Have the ladies just,
Yeah.
Watch Freddie T.
Yeah.
Draw a bath.
Put it up on your big screen television. Yeah, draw a bath, light some candles, get a glass of wine.
Can someone put that video to this song? As you're jumping the box.
And just make it in slow motion.
Yeah.
I'll get it out, I promise, within the next several minutes, or however hell long it takes.
Da da da. Sexy friend. Check out the girth of his back.
is lifting, you can tell.
Somebody just sent me a picture of Phil Kessel sitting by himself in the All-Star draft.
That's what I want to see.
It's like in the cruddiest studio ever.
No, it was without hyperbole, one of the great moments in hockey history.
They don't even do that anymore, which sucks.
No, they don't. Well,
next year they tried to be like, oh, we're going to give the guy a car, gets picked last because we feel bad. And that doesn't matter. No. Well,
that's even more insulting.
Right.
All right. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I have a serious question I want to ask someone to email me before 10 o'clock. I spent money on that bike. I'd like to be able to somehow fit on it. Is there a certain kind of seat or a handlebar extension that I can use? You're nodding your head. Yes, Nick. Can you get them at your sweet store?
Yeah, you can go to a bike shop and get an extension for the bike.
The bike seat. Shop that you go to, do they specialize in BMX and radness?
Yes.
All right, I want you to take it to the bike shop. I got a check in my wallet, and I'll write you a check. I want you to take it to the bike shop today.
Okay.
And say the guy's 6'2 and about 215 at this point in his life. Bert, how much do you think I weigh? You sure? I can tell you. 225? 240? Oh, you're out of your mind.
Fred does not weigh 240.
I don't weigh 240 pounds. Are you crazy?
I would say 200.
I weighed over 200. You know what I used to weigh like 3 years ago? I used to weigh 190.
Wow.
But I put on some LBs, my friends. Most of it muscle. But I want you to take it to the bike shop.
Okay.
Because now we're all in. Now I got to get this thing going. Okay. I've spent enough time and money in this. Can you just take it there and go? The guy's 6'2", 200 plus pounds. Can you just, and most of it's located in his stomach. Can you, he's got no ass. And just tell him, and can you make this so I can fit on it? So, like, he can make it easier for him to ride.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that today.
And Nick, could you come in here? Because I'm getting this message that your video does not fit the requirements of Twitter.
All right, hold on.
Just sit in here, and if you could put that video up, because...
I don't know why he's all the...
It's one of the few things worth waiting for.
I've seen the video. I've watched it on Nick's Twitter.
Dude, it's crazy.
It's fantastic.
The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right, so...
240 pounds. Jesus.
I don't think Jesus was 240 pounds.
No, he was actually...
Definitely not.
Quite short if you look back in biblical times.
He might be. So, if you are heading... If for some reason you truly believe that the Patriots will once again head to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, here's some kind of good news for you. There's going to be the Bud Light Super Bowl Music Fest, which is going to be going on a three-night festival to give football fans a taste of the rock and roll. Thursday, January 31st through February 2nd.
Those things are always really good. They're really fun.
Oh, there have been some really good ones.
No, but they're in an environment that sucks.
Yeah, remember when we were in Minneapolis, the Time was playing, but they were doing it outdoors when it was 20 below zero.
This is not like what you're talking about. This is like when Metallica played in San Francisco at what's the baseball stadium? The Giants.
AT&T Park.
AT&T Park. Like, this is what they're talking about. Like,
okay.
Bruno Mars played
that's
when we were in Phoenix. This is not like the guys they're throwing out in front on some random stage.
All right.
You get a ticket to this. As a matter of fact, it's EA Sports. Is the sponsor behind this. So the bands or the artists that they have chosen are pretty good. On Saturday night, the Bud Light Super Bowl Eve concert will perform a feature performance from Bruno Mars along with Cardi B. And on Friday, you're getting Aerosmith with a soon-to-be-announced special guest, which, once again, if you're a Patriots
someone
fan,
who can,
it's not like you've never seen Aerosmith.
Someone who can move around. Someone without feathers in their hair.
That is the EA Sports Bowl. And then you're going to get, I think, it looks like on Thursday night, Ludacris, because he's just around, because it's Atlanta. And also, is it Migos? He's the dab guy. Lil Yachty, Lil Baby, and more. So there is going to be some sort of Atlanta touched all of this on Thursday night.
Mumble Rapparoo.
Not Ludacris, but no, yeah, but maybe the rest of those.
Little Yachty.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Not very talented.
So with 9 weeks in the books, the NFL has once again set a record for the points scored to date. The league's teams have scored a collective 6,440 points through week 9.
That Jet offense, baby.
That is the most points scored through any week 9 in league history. Likewise, the total touchdowns scored, which is 736, and passing touchdowns, 473, are the most through week 9 in league history. However, despite the high scoring, the games continue to be close. Of the 134 games that have been played, 90 of them, which is almost 70%, have been within one score at some point in the fourth quarter. You know what? This does go to say that this season, more than many that I can remember over the past 5, 6, 7 years, has been one of the more entertaining NFL seasons.
Had a couple of ties. How many games with the overtime?
Why aren't
the first
you answering the phone?
I thank you.
He's
I
know, but he asked you
something.
You're
riding the bike all over the place. It's a bike, dude. I mean, it's a, dude. Don't. Oh. Oh my God, Bird!
Where's he go?
He left Bird, the bike over
get
there.
Get the bike, Bird. This is a place of business. Get the bike away. That. Are we kidding?
No, no, no. No, you get the video up, Nick.
Nick's got about eight other things to do.
Yeah.
You take the bike.
All right.
And you just
calls are on hold for the moment. No one is calling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you okay, I see. All right. So you need to do it on a different app that I'm using.
All right.
I see.
Steve has a comment on my way. Steve, go ahead.
Listen, give Nick 2 checks and have him pick up a bathroom scale because there's no way you're 215.
How much do you think I weigh?
Dude, I've seen pictures of you. I'm the same size, and I weigh 260. You've got to be 240 minimum.
Oh, my God. Ooh. You're out of your mind. I don't weigh anywhere near that.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Move it.
I swear to God.
I swear to God.
Well, have you ever met me?
I think it's time to find out.
Yeah.
240 at least.
240? You're out of your mind.
No way. Prove it. Get a scale.
Are we doing the closest without going over?
If it's close, it's not going.
The price is right.
Well, I can tell you right now, I don't weigh 240 pounds. Not even close. No. No.
No, you don't weigh 240.
No. No.
If you had to guess right now how much you weigh.
216.
Okay. We don't have a scale here? Nobody's got a scale?
All right. Get the video up and everything else. I'll weigh myself tomorrow.
All right, just bring it in. That's
we
right.
Can just, we will just, every day I'll do something for you.
Well, the up.
Every day I'll dance around for everyone.
You're the one who wanted to do it.
No, I like the BMX bit.
Yeah.
But the idea I weigh 240 pounds is insulting.
No, that's ridiculous. No.
Have you seen my legs and arms?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a stick. I'm a potato with sticks today. 240 pounds.
No, that's not true.
260, the guy says. I'm his size. Get please. Please.
So the uptick in scoring has plenty to do with the passing efficiency being through the roof. As a matter of fact, the average passer rating sits at 94 with 11 quarterbacks posting a season-to-date passer rating of 100 or more. It's because you got these young guns coming in.
Woo!
Showing you how it's done. What is Mahomes at in touchdown passes this year?
29?
I mean, that's insane. Isn't that like 8 above number 2?
I'll double check.
I think
he's a 29.
Yeah, so he's absolutely killing it. The other thing that I've noticed about this season that's made it somewhat more enjoyable from the past is I don't know if it's because there's been lack of any kind of controversy or whatever, but Roger Goodell's been pretty damn quiet. You have not heard from him.
Maybe that's by design.
Well, that's what I was thinking, is I guarantee you, after everything happened with the Deflategate and the fallout that happened afterwards, I guarantee, and I tell you what, I bet he sure as hell didn't like that shirt that the Barstool guys made with the clown nose on it that became bigger than I ever thought it would. I guarantee you there was some sort of concerted effort that said, you need to kind of step back from the spotlight for a while, and maybe we just not comment on everything we used to comment on publicly. Yes, John.
Mahomes has 29 touchdowns. Luck is second with 23, and Goff third at 20.
Jeez. How about Luck? That's kind of sneaky under the radar.
It is, actually. All things considered, how bad his offensive line is, the lack of a good receiver to throw the football to.
Yeah.
Mike, go ahead.
Freddie T, what up, man?
Yeah.
Listen, I am 3 inches shorter than you, and you're definitely bigger than me, bro, and I'm 250. So you got to be pushing at least 270, if not more.
Go to I know you're just being a prick. But listen, go to @FredTutcher on Instagram Look at, I think the last picture I put up is either, because one's with me on the couch, me with Bobby Orr. Go, look at it now. Look at it now. You gentlemen, look at it.
Go, you don't need to tell me. Dude, you don't need to even tell me.
No, I know, you know I'm not 240.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, why am I okay. gazing? I see you in person every day.
Yeah. What do you think I weigh, honestly?
I was going to say 215. So,
okay, yes.
I would have said 215, and I might 220.
Even, yes, and I might even, and the, which is terribly overweight for me. Like, if I weigh 220, I'm 30 pounds overweight. I've never weighed 220 in my life. I possibly do right now. It might be the heaviest I've ever been. But the idea that I am anywhere near...
No, you're not 240. That's not right.
I, like, can work. I can do yoga and stuff. I'm not, like, a... You know, I mean, but I did go down the hall, and it's not the best evidence when I was out of breath from riding the bike down the hall. But some of that was pure terror. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 Fred, what you think about eating with me? What's so hard? You should be proud.
Maybe get him on the bike.
Hey, 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 everybody, why don't you wear brown and orange? It covers up all the mistakes you make. Hey, Fred, 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 here's a sundae. Hey, Fred, 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 here's some hot dogs. Hey, Fred, 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 let's go through a dumpster.
A dumpster?
What? Yeah. A day old, donuts in the dumpster. Come on with me, Fred, you like me.
So is it the show any longer, you know, someone calls and Fred weighed 400 pounds.
Hey, hey,
the Fred. The weight's getting worse.
Well, the guy doesn't really think I weigh 270. The guy would have said I weighed 240 was legit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, you're my size.
Yeah, I'm everyone's size. Skeebadidi. 240. That's it. I'm losing 20 pounds despite you all. As long as it doesn't involve cutting back drinking. All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what Zolek and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5. Toucher and Rip.
By the way, you can tell why Wiggins could play professional football. He's 290 pounds and he's out there doing bunny hops.
Wait, he's 290?
Oh, yeah.
He's 290?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I asked him how much he weighed. He said 290. And then I said, how much do I weigh? And he said 210.
Yeah, we have to trigger it. But this is for good reason.
Whoa.
No, Wiggins was,
the Wiggy alarm.
Wiggins was, like, good at riding the bike.
His playing weight was, what, 245?
He doesn't look fat.
No, I get that. That's why I'm amazed. 290. I never would have picked that.
I just think, I mean, his head's all big and everything
that's
else.
That's true. Yeah, but he was crushing it. Like, I mean, for being as big as he was, he was getting both tires right off the ground.
I'm telling you this. Nick's getting that stuff put on it, and I'm actually going to try. And I'm going to come back here and make you all eat my dust.
By the way, the video is now officially up at Toucher and Rich on Twitter. It is on our Facebook page as well, and it will be up on Instagram very soon. You have the live thing. That thing's up on Instagram as well. So
yeah, you can go to at Fred Toucher on Instagram. Tell me I weigh 240 pounds.
It is
most insulting thing I've heard.
It is wonderful, Fred. I will say that. The video is fantastic.
Yeah. Of course it is. I told you it would be. It would be rad. Capital R. A stands for adorable. D stands for destruction.
Well, you had the touch.
All right, they're at Warrior Ice Arena. No, TV flips out.
There's a different song that we need.
I'm a mass man.
All right. All right, Hardy and Zolek, hello.
Hi, how are you? I think Beatles back today. Dan Shaughnessy is sitting next to me, too.
All right. I was so excited that I wasn't going to have a voice today, and then my voice cleared up last night, and then yeah. I was just like, God, Jesus.
No, you sound like $1 million.
I mean, if you see the video of me riding my my BMX bike around, you're going to say that I look like $100, too.
I haven't seen it yet, but I cannot wait.